What's up, everybody? Just want to let you know that By the Hood is powered by MDC Strategy. So Corey and I have partnered with several other educators and investors to create MDC Strategy. Just want to let you know this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or a fake internet guru selling you dreams of wealth. This is a community of educators and investors who believe in the power of community and shared ideas. We share information about real estate, long-term stock investing, precious metals, options trading, cryptocurrency, and much, much more. To get more information, go to mdcstrategy.com.
If you go shopping at the grocery store, right, and you buy your groceries and then you pay for them, and then you walk towards the door and you leave your whole cart there and then you go home, that's what you do when you buy your crypto on an exchange and you leave it on the exchange. You bought your groceries. You just left them at the market. So, you know, for lack of a better term, stop leaving your groceries at the market. What's good, family? Welcome to episode 9 of Stack, Sats, or Die Trying, the Bitcoin show brought to you by the Hood. I'm your host, as always. My name is Jimmy, and if you're watching the video, you see I got my shadowy supercoder hoodie on, but, you know, we're going to get right into it. If you're watching this, you know, drops on Monday. I'll be traveling to Charlotte, so I'll be here for the week. So if any of you guys in Charlotte, hit me up. You know, let's go. You know, get a drink, get a meal. You know, chop it up. I like to meet my folks when I'm out on the road. But I have a speaking gig this week in Charlotte, so I'll be in Charlotte all week. But I definitely want to drop a quick episode of Stack Sats. I want to make sure I'm here every Monday, talking about Bitcoin and all things Bitcoin culture. So not to belabor the point, let's get right into it. And today's episode, right, I'm calling this episode Bitcoin is Resilient. So I want to talk a little bit. This is not so much about a how-to, but this is just, I want to, you know, help give more perspective in terms of Bitcoin, living the Bitcoin lifestyle, while it's important to understand what Bitcoin is and you know, really about the mental part of Bitcoin. So we're going to call this episode Bitcoin is Resilient. And you know, let's get into it. As always, this is not investment advice. It is for educational, informational purposes only. I'm talking about my observations, my thoughts, things that I do. I am not telling anybody to do anything, and I am not your fiduciary. I'm not telling you to invest anything. If you don't buy Bitcoin, that's on you. More corn for me. But with that being said, let's get into it, right? So as I was thinking about this episode, I was thinking about what to title it. What was I trying to communicate or get across? Looking up different words came, you know, looked up resilient because I want to get the actual definition of resilient. And according to Merriam-Webster, there's two definitions, one being capable of withstanding shock without permanent deformation or rupture. And the other is tending to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. And I said, man, that describes Bitcoin. And I'm going to tell you what made me actually think about this. Was a story that came out recently, and I had a lot of people inbox me, tag me and stuff on various social media platforms asking my thoughts on it. And here was the story. It was about Sam Bankman-Fried, who was sentenced to 25 years in prison for, you know, being the scammer and the clown that he was at FTX. You know, so he says he expresses remorse for his actions. I mean, after getting hit with a quarter, I guess so. But people ask me for my perspective on it. And I said, look, man, you know, dude had to get punished for what he did. He hurt a lot of people. You know, did he deserve the death penalty or something like that? Absolutely. I mean, I don't think people deserve the death penalty. I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, 25 years is a long time. Main man, depending upon how much time he served, the prime of his life is finito. And he deserves to be punished for what he did. Right. Did I think he would get 25 years? I didn't actually, based on his political connections and all that, but that's not the point. My actual thought when I was reading the story, reading all the things surrounding his sentencing, really wasn't anything about him particularly. It made me think about Bitcoin, right? And I'm gonna tell you why. I remember when this happened. I remember days leading up to it happening when everyone found out that FTX was frauding, right? And during this cycle, there were a lot of frauds out there. Celsius was a fraud, and I'm someone who used to use Celsius. Good thing I got my stuff out of Celsius before it went down, because I started to understand the idea of getting yield on your Bitcoin, and I kind of went away from it before Celsius had what it had, as well as BlockFi. but I never had an FTX account, never used FTX. You know, I stayed away from that. But I do remember leading up to it, I remember FTX actually being on Twitter, trying to reassure people that, you know, nothing was wrong, everything was good. And I remember when the news hit that they were a full-fledged scam and what it did to the actual market, the actual Bitcoin market. And I remember watching mainstream media and people online who knew that I was a Bitcoiner sending me messages like, it's over now, you know, the Ponzi's finally up, or your tulips are done. Like, you know, kind of like just trolling me, talking trash. And I remember sitting there thinking like, they really don't understand this thing. People really still do not understand Bitcoin, because if you did, you would really stop counting it out. And this is, you know, this is part of the Bitcoin story, love it or hate it. But the Bitcoin story has a lot of pieces to it. We could talk about the block size wars, right? We can talk about the FTX collapse. We could talk about the Celsius, all these things that happen to Bitcoin. And yet here we are, close to 70,000. We cracked all-time highs after all of these things because Bitcoin is resilient. So in looking at this, it actually, you know, I'm reading this and I'm like, you know, this is a crazy story. You know, we'll get a Sam Bankman-Fried movie at one point. You know, there's already several documentaries out about it. But I was sitting there thinking the biggest part of the story is that we're still here, right? And I know people like to make jokes about this is just a bubble, it's tulips. People don't realize that the whole tulip thing, from my understanding of that history, and I looked it up, that took place over about a year, a little over a year. And that was finito, right? We're now in, you know, over a decade long. At some point, you're going to have to understand that this is not that. This is real. This is energy. This is time. This is a store of value, right? So, you know, I wanted to kind of talk about that. And this is the story that made me think about the fact that Bitcoin is resilient and understanding its resilience, right? So here's the other part about it. And this is a tweet that I saw from Rajat Soni, who's a CFA, right? What's interesting, I look at a lot of his content and it's interesting his perspective because he's someone who comes from TradFi. For those who don't know what that means, that is traditional finance. Shout out to everybody who's listening to the audio version of this. So, you know, I'll try to make sure I do a good job of explaining what I'm talking about because I am going through one of my PowerPoint presentations. You know, initially this showed a slide of Sam Bankman-Fried, but now I'm on another slide, which is a tweet from Rajat Soni, who's a CFA. And his Twitter handle is Rajat Soni Finance. Well, Rajat Soni F-Nance, so it's not really finance, but his tweet says, not your keys, not your coins. It's something that we tell people every day. And his point is FTX clients who withdrew their Bitcoin did not lose any money due to the exchange collapse. No matter where you are in your Bitcoin journey, you need to get your Bitcoin off of exchanges. So Corey and I have been saying this for years. When we go around into the community and we're doing things live, we tell people, get your coins off the exchanges, right? Even the exchanges we love. I love Strike. I love Swan. Get your coins off the exchanges. Take self-custody, which will lead to another conversation. But I want you to take self-custody. You can use the hot wallets until you get a cold wallet. But if you're going to get into this space, get yourself a cold wallet. Using Blue Wallet or Trust Wallet or one of these things to initially get your journey started is fine. But once you get to about $1,000, man, you got to move that into cold storage. I know that's kind of low. Some people say, well, you got to wait till you get about $5,000 or $10,000. Once you get up above $1,000, get it off. You want to take custody because that's one of the most powerful things about Bitcoin is the idea that you can have custody. Now, the thing about FTX, right, and all of these crashes of these various exchanges is the people that use their products in terms of their exchange to go in and out of crypto, they didn't lose anything when these exchanges collapsed. It's only the people who left their stuff on the exchange that get harmed. If you take your stuff off the exchange, put it into self-custody, when FTX finds out that, you know, there's nothing for them to really rehypothecate or really use to do anything nefarious. So make sure you're taking self-custody. And again, I was just reading, I saw this on Twitter. I said, man, this is good because it was going along my thought patterns of my thoughts surrounding the resilience of Bitcoin, FTX. And when I saw this tweet, I was like, yeah, let me make sure I share that on the show because even if you did use his fraud product, this FTX exchange, if you practice proper Bitcoin protocol, you still weren't harmed. So, I'm going to be saying this forever. It's one of those things that, you know, people still will never understand. But you got to take your stuff off the exchange. The analogy Corey always likes to use, he says, if you go shopping at the grocery store, right, and you buy your groceries and then you pay for them and then you walk towards the door and you leave your whole cart there and then you go home. That's what you do when you buy your crypto on an exchange and you leave it on an exchange. You bought your groceries. You just left them at the market. So, you know, for lack of a better term, stop leaving your groceries at the market. I have seen people who have thousands, hundreds of thousands just sitting on Coinbase. And I'm sitting there like, what the f-? Doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, right? And I know that people are like, well, FedBase is different than all these. Coinbase is different than all these other places. Okay, they are until they're not. So practice proper Bitcoin protocol. Say that 10 times. So that was the other part about this whole FTX story, right? And he is absolutely correct when he says this, right? And I know I shared this before in a previous episode, but again, it came to mind as I'm reading this story because Bitcoin is resilient. Bitcoin Isaiah on Twitter says that it is rare for an asset to recover from a 75% downturn. Bitcoin has done it 5 times. And yet people still don't understand that it's not going anywhere. They don't understand the idea that Bitcoin is resilient. It has recovered from a 75% downturn multiple times, 5 times, right? So just understand, if you're in this for the long haul, you don't care that it goes down. In fact, when it goes down, it's an opportunity for you to stack more, right? So understand Bitcoin's resilience. And when you understand, you go back to the previous episodes where I talked about Bitcoin versus Bitcoin, big network, that value is there, then you understand why no matter what happens, things happen, right? So the markets will have its ebbs and flows. Things will happen in a positive, things will happen in a negative. But when you take a step back and look at the long term, when you start to have a long term point of view, your perspective changes, which allows you to live the Bitcoin lifestyle. That was the last episode. You know what I mean? I'm like building like an album. Like each episode is almost like a track on an album, man. This is my Stack Sats of Die Trying is my version of Only Built for Cuban Links. I'm like creating an album. I might sell these videos and audio as a mixtape or something when I'm done. And then bring back that piff so I can put like, you know, my audio performance on there. But anyway, I digress. So why does this happen? Another tweet I saw. By a gentleman known as the Bitcoin Specialist is what he calls himself on Twitter. I would read his at name, but it sounds kind of sus. All right, it says his at name is Banky the Tanky, right? For those that are watching the video, for those that are listening to the audio, that's the man's name. Don't blame me. but he calls himself the Bitcoin Specialist. But he had a tweet, which I thought made sense in part of this conversation, which is why it is resilient, which is why it comes back. And he makes an analogy of Bitcoin being digital property. I always said Bitcoin is digital real estate, but I like what he said here. He said, Bitcoin is digital property. There will only ever be 21 million acres. Demand will drive the price of each acre up forever. You owe no MX fees, property taxes, insurance on these acres. The acres are yours, secured by the strongest network on earth, owned by none, but used by all. Right. No one owns the network. Right. So the network is owned by us. It's the people's network. But he makes the analogy of Bitcoin being digital property. So when you look at it from that perspective and you realize there will only ever be 21 million acres. Right. But you can break down an acre. Right. So 21 million. But you can break down an acre into smaller portions. Right. So we go acres, you could do square feet, you could do however you want to do it, right? So for every acre in real estate, there's 43,560 square feet. So we already break land down, but acre is a unit of account that we tend to use. And I'm living in a dense city where most people do not own an acre. But with that being said, we break it down into smaller pieces. Those smaller pieces still become valuable. That's what sats are, right? That's why this show isn't Stack Bitcoin or Die Trying. It's Stack Sats or Die Trying. Once you understand the unit of account is sats and not Bitcoin, and you get that perspective, then you do whatever you can to stack sats, right? We're stacking sats here. It is Bitcoin, but you want to get to a Bitcoin by stacking sats, and those sats will become more and more valuable. People, I always tell people, look, try to get the one Bitcoin if you can. Try your hardest to get the one Bitcoin, because I believe that getting to one Bitcoin can change your life. There only be 21 million, right? There's not enough Bitcoin at this point or ever for every millionaire to have one. So just think about that, right? And it is digital property. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And again, this is not investment advice, but once you start to understand what Bitcoin is, you understand also that Bitcoin is a brand. I think people forget that, right? When I look at the top 10 quote unquote cryptos by market cap, only a couple of them do people even know what they are. I go talk to the average person and they don't know what most of those things are. Even the stable coins, I go talk to the average person, they have never heard of USDT or USDC or, you know, most people don't know what an XRP is, right? Most people don't know what any of this stuff is, but what they do know is Bitcoin. And the brand itself has value, believe it or not, because it just does. And if you don't understand the value of brands, if you go to our YouTube channel or if you're listening to the audio, we did an actual show about brand value on our regular Wednesday podcast a couple weeks ago. So brands do have value, and Bitcoin itself is a brand, but it's also digital property, like the Bitcoin specialist says. And in being digital property, it's scarce. See, one of the things that people don't understand about, there's a difference between land and real estate, right? And again, I've always said in every episode, my background in real estate is which makes me so bullish on Bitcoin, because so many things, like it's highly collinear in terms of the idea of Bitcoin in real estate. There's a lot of collinearity between the value propositions of both things. So in thinking of that, and you know, this isn't even something that's written down. I'm just actually thinking out loud as I record this. In thinking of that, in real estate, you have real estate, right? And you have real property, but you also have land, right? So you have real estate, which is different than real property. Real property is actual real estate with the bundle of rights that come with the idea of ownership. But you also have raw, and raw land is what's really scarce. So when people say buy real estate, they're not making anymore. Well, that's not 100% true. What they're not making anymore of is land, right? And again, my perspective as being a Philadelphian living in a dense city, you can make more real estate. If I go knock down my building and I build up taller, where now, you know, we're talking about air rights, but also just building up taller to add more units, I've created more real estate. So I can create more real estate. What I can't create is the land. The land is the scarce asset, not the real estate. Those are two different things. So in thinking this logic through, land is where the value lies. It's one of the reasons that I believe in Georgism, in the ideas and the principles put forth by Henry George. If you don't know what that is, just look up Henry George, look up Georgism and the idea of land value tax. I actually believe in that because my perspective on it isn't one like, you know, I know a lot of people who are Georgists believe that it's the most fair tax system, which I believe is true too. But I think just the idea or the thought that land is where the value lies is paramount when it comes to valuing real estate. And you're saying this is stack sets of dot trying, but just hear me out. You know, I'm thinking this through, but there's a connection there, which is scarcity. Bitcoin is digital scarcity. Land is physical scarcity. So even the idea of gold, which people consider scarce, is it though? Because to me, it seems like anytime the price of gold goes up, they seemingly find more, right? I know someone right now who has a black man who owns a gold mine. And, you know, some people may know who I'm talking about. And they have hundreds of acres they still have to go through before they get all the gold there. And I'm like, well, how scarce really is gold, right? Now, the land, you know, they aren't necessarily making more land. But real estate itself, I can always build up, right? Now, what can get in the way of me building up? Zoning and laws and things that I have no control over, right? Because again, central powers have that control. Now watch how I tie this back. With Bitcoin, there is no central power. There is no government of Bitcoin. There is no CEO of Bitcoin. I want to make a complaint to the Bitcoin office. Who am I going to go to, right? It's truly digital property that's one of a kind. I can't take, you know, my 50 rental properties and just, you know, go to another state by just memorizing words in my head. But my digital property, I can. I can memorize 12 words and just walk around the earth with whatever value I want. So understand there is a difference. But I like this idea that the Bitcoin specialist is talking about digital property and using the analogy of 21 million acres, because it does make sense. Believe it or not, it does make sense. But also just think about that. Think about the idea of real estate versus land, right? Because land and it's real estate, you know, you have fixtures and everything that go on top of the raw land. Then you have the final value, which is real property, which comes with the bundle of rights, the rights to do nothing, the right to sell, lease, all those different things that come along with the bundle of rights. This isn't a real estate show, so I'm not getting into the bundle of rights of all that, but just understand that there's levels as it pertains to property. But the value is truly in the land, because land is the scarce asset, and value always tends to find its way into scarce, you know, scarce commodities. Let's think about this for a second. What makes specific artists' artwork so valuable? It's the scarcity. There's only so many Picassos in the world, right? So it's the idea of scarcity is very important. It's one of the things that gives anything value, but I think it's the most important part. And then when you think about that and you understand that scarcity is what it is, there's nothing more scarce than Bitcoin. Because even when we talk about something such as gold, right, or even real estate, I can't tell you how many pieces of real estate exist in the world. And I know this for a fact, because working in the valuation industry, I've talked to people in other countries who do real estate modeling and things. And one of the issues they have is all of the land isn't even identified or cataloged, right? There is nowhere I can go and I can log on and I can see how many ounces or pounds of gold are in the world right now. Think about this, because gold is interesting, because we dig gold out the ground, we get it, and then we bury it again in hiding as the whole value. So it's kind of weird, right? But when you think about Bitcoin, I can go on the blockchain and see how much exists at any given time. That's what makes it the most scarce, because it's also verifiable. I can't verify land because all land is intact. Now, most people watching this, including myself, live in places where you can go to your local assessor's office and you can see things that have been cataloged in terms of land, how many pieces of land, how many pieces of property are there. But it doesn't exist across the world like that. But you know what does exist across the world is when I go on the internet and I can be in Australia and I can see exactly how many satoshis are available or exists right now. That's true scarcity. There's nothing more scarce than Bitcoin, which is what gives it the value, which is what makes it resilient to all of these ups and downs, because value will always chase scarcity. So hope that made sense, my little rant. And again, it wasn't pre-planned. I just, you know, I was reading this, and in reading this, it just brought some thoughts to mind I'm going to share with you guys in real time. So the last thing I want to say before I get out of here is this. The last episode, I got a lot of great feedback about living the Bitcoin lifestyle, how I don't have bank accounts and I use it, put all my money in Bitcoin. I literally live off Bitcoin. And just looking through, because I am someone who believes in budgeting, right? I know you see a lot of people now who are on TikTok and Instagram, and they hit you with the, you don't got a budget, just get more money, forget budgets. I believe in budgeting because I'm someone who believes in data. I believe in tracking. I believe in, you know, trying to practice discipline and practice good habits. So I like to see how I use my money. And one of the things I realized since moving strictly into the Bitcoin standard myself is there is a other part of this that's like an added benefit outside of the fact of me gaining purchasing power, which I talked about last episode. So check that out if you haven't. The other part is when you have money that tends to go up in value and not go down in value, you think before you spend frivolously. So there's an added benefit, which is I don't use credit cards anymore. So I paid, you know, paid credit card debt off. And it's funny because people say, well, you got to be using it. I'm almost at 800 now. I've never been this close to 800 in my life. And that's not using credit cards. So, but I don't care about a credit score anyway. All you're telling me is my ability to borrow more money from a system that I, you know, I'm opting out of anyway. But I digress. What I'm saying is, you start to think more, so you may not buy things because you're like, yo, if I buy this, I got to trade in my Bitcoin to buy this. I don't want to do that. So all of my financial habits are better under the Bitcoin standard. Even how I spend my time has improved since adopting Bitcoin as my medium of exchange, because and I had someone this week say, yo, man, you ain't post on y'all by the hood Instagram page in a while. And it's like, yo, I'm living life now. Like, I'm not thinking about having to be on social media all day. I don't think about missing things. I'm actually enjoying life. I'm outside enjoying the air, learning new things, thinking about things, spending time with the people I love. And I know this sounds absolutely insane, but a lot of it comes from simplifying my life and not just being in a rush to spend. And what I mean by simplifying my life is, even as it pertains to my trading and investing journey, I've pared down what I buy. I buy only a handful of things, set them on autopilot, and go live life, right? Even with our trading, we do have a private group and we trade every week. I only trade a couple things. And I have one specific strategy I use. I don't go around trying to see what Johnny is doing or what Jane is doing. I have one specific strategy I teach to our students, and I go live life. So anyway, with all that being said, these are some of the benefits that come from adopting a Bitcoin standard. The way I've been even eating food has changed. Like, everything is in a longer time frame, buying higher quality products, enjoying life. So, you know, I'm saying all that to say, when you simplify and minimize things and really focus on what matters, then you really start to understand what true wealth is, right? It's part of the journey that I'm on now. I know I'm sounding real crazy right now, becoming enlightened or whatever, but it's just something, it's a realization, because I track things. So I can see before adopting this Bitcoin standard, how much I was just using DoorDash frivolously, how much I was going places I didn't really want to go to spend time with people I didn't care to spend time with. So it's like, I see the change and the shift, and all of it comes from having real money. So now that I have real money, that's deflationary and not inflationary, my entire life has shifted up. And we could talk more about this in a future episode, but I just wanted to share that now because I was literally just looking at how I spent my money. And I was like, man, it really has changed. So Bitcoin changes you in so many ways. And, you know, it's not to make it sound religious or anything, because what's actually happening is it just changes your way of thinking, right? So for some people, it doesn't necessarily have to be Bitcoin, right? It could be the idea of investing itself. But for me, it's Bitcoin which brought these thoughts to me, because you start to realize how much of we're on this floating rock and we out here paying taxes and riding an expensive car. Like, yo, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to stack sats, spend time with family, watch Ratchet TV, because I do still watch some Ratchet TV, man. And I just told everybody on a Friday live show, my newest obsession is the balloon popping dating show, but I digress. It has nothing to do with Bitcoin, but I just put it out there. Like, I get to sit around on the couch and watch that and laugh my ass off when my money is not losing value, right? And I know some people be like, yo, watching TV is a waste of time. You got to be reading books and all this. And it's like, that's cool, but I want to do things that I find fun. And now that I found an asset that's not going to just be going away from me long term, I get to sit around and watch Ratchet TV, stack sats, go online, talk shit, have fun, create these episodes, and life is beautiful. So it's a whole different lifestyle I'm living. With that being said, man, I want to say thank you to all the supporters of the show. Your feedback has been tremendous. I appreciate everything. Special shout out to Michelle, special shout out to Jamil, special shout out to Omar. Cause like, listen, man, you brothers, man, like, you know, telling me that you watch these episodes and let me know that, you see them and I'll continue to make these episodes and bring value in different ways. I do have a lot of, other stack sats episodes I'm working on that are more about, how to use certain products, but those take a little bit more time to make. So I'll definitely have those wrapped up and brought. But I want to shout out you brothers too. A special shout out to Omar. I actually went to a Bitcoin meetup this this past week. I was talking to him just on the phone, like, yo, I'm going to a Bitcoin meetup. And O showed up. So shout out to him for that. But I appreciate all the support for everybody who watches the show. I genuinely do. And I really love the feedback, love reading the comments, love the tweets that I get. Because, you know, this is what we do it for, man. I'm trying to have as many people as possible see what I already see. You know what I mean? Because nobody wants to be wealthy alone. The part is nobody wants to be wealthy alone. You know, because that's the thing, man. You know what I mean? Like, you want to have make sure everybody is sharing in the money and getting the money, man. So also special shout out to Kevin Martin Jr., man, because Kevin watches a lot of our content and he sends us Cash Apps and Bitcoin to help us continuously do what we do in terms of giving Bitcoin away. For those who don't know, we give away Bitcoin every week. Join us on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we give away Bitcoin. And Kevin, shout out to Kevin. Kevin has sent us Cash Apps, like, yo, here goes some Bitcoin for you to continue the mission. So that's appreciated as well. But I love y'all, genuinely appreciate y'all. Let me know what y'all think about Bitcoin being resilient. Some of my thoughts on this episode. This episode was like a stream of consciousness a little bit, but I had an agenda in terms of talking about the resilience, but I went off into this tirade about, you know, real estate and real property, but it's for a reason. It just clicked in me as I was having that, you know, talking to you guys. So let me know what you think about it, though. For those listening on audio, appreciate you. Give me feedback as well. You know, so I will make sure I'm here next week to drop another episode. I'll be back from Charlotte by then after I, you know, give them a presentation talking about all things real estate, Bitcoin, and dropping some wire quotes in there. With that being said, man, as you always remember, stack sats or die trying. Peace.